immigrants have a long history of being innovative, creating jobs, starting businesses, and helping to extend prosperity to a lot of other people. But many Americans have lost sight of that contribution.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at the issues behind the news. This week, empowering America through immigration policy reform.
With Arizona's controversial immigration law in the administration's crosshairs, the debate on reforming the nation's immigration policy is a hot-button issue. In Brain Gain, Rethinking U.S. Immigration Policy, a new book on immigration reform, Governance Studies Director Daryl West takes a deeper look at the issue, saying it's time to reform the immigration debate.
A lot of people have lost sight of the close tie between immigration and long-term economic development in the United States. I put a picture of Albert Einstein on the cover of my book to illustrate the fact that immigrants have made tremendous contributions. Obviously, he helped us win World War II. Intel was started by a Hungarian. Google was started by a Russian immigrant. And the company Yahoo was started by somebody who came here from Taiwan. So what would the American economy look like if Intel, Google, and Yahoo were located in their respective home countries? Our economy would look very different.
One could make the argument that what we really need to do is better educate our young people. Is that fair to say?
I certainly encourage students and other people to study science, technology, engineering, and math. The problem is the United States is not producing enough graduates in those areas. When you go to PhD programs in leading American universities in those particular fields, by and large, those students are foreign students. Americans have not gone into science and technology programs. I argue in the book that one of the problems is we actually bring these foreign students to study science and technology at American universities. In PhD programs, we generally pay for their college education, but then we send them home.
Daryl, in your book, you cite that the UK and Canada are two countries that put aside large amounts of their visas for PhDs, PhD candidates, and the like, saying that the United States, of course, should do the same. But one can make the argument that they do it because they don't have the resources we have.
We are certainly importing a lot of brain power. But yet, we actually do a lot less of that than other countries. For example, in the United States, we only allocate 15% of the million visas that we award each year based on employment-related purposes. Canada, in contrast, awards 58% of their visas for economic purposes. Most other countries, Australia and the United Kingdom, are much more strategic in viewing immigration as a way to provide seasonal farm workers, high-skilled talent, to basically fill in the gaps that are not being supplied by people who live in each of those countries.
In your book, you write that the current immigration debate is misleading and laden with myths. Tell me more about that.
When you look at media coverage, news reporters just focus on the costs of immigration. You know, there are all the stories about the narrative of illegality, the Mexicans crawling across the border. And people ignore the good news scenario, which is immigrants have done a lot for the United States. I think the media coverage has been very one-sided on that particular point. One of the other big myths is that Americans do not want illegal immigrants to stay in the United States. When you look at the public opinion data, and I have a whole chapter that looks at the last 50 years of public opinion on immigration, what you will find is more than 60% of Americans are willing to have illegal immigrants stay here if they learn English, pay a fine, pay their back taxes, and pass a background test. Under those circumstances, people are perfectly happy to have these illegal immigrants stay here. What they don't support is amnesty, but there actually is pretty strong public support for a pathway to citizenship.
Daryl, what are your recommendations for a more comprehensive U.S. immigration policy?
We need an Einstein principle that would essentially help us recruit talent from other countries. I would give an automatic green card to PhD graduates of science and technology programs, foreign students who've come here to stay that now don't have very many opportunities. We do need to take border security seriously. I suggest there are technology solutions that would be more effective and more cost efficient than building a fence and employing thousands of border patrol guards up and down our border. We need to work on immigrant integration so that we provide English language classes for them. We need to check the fingerprints of people in American prisons. Statistics suggest that about 10% of prisoners actually are here illegally from other countries. Many of those people are actually being deported. We deport 350,000 people each year now. So there's a range of different types of suggestions that I make that I think, if we enact them, would actually make the public feel better. People would be more supportive of immigration reform and would actually help resolve many of the issues that we face in that area.
The nation's immigration policy is really key to the country's long-term growth and development. Is that right?
When I talk about a brain gain, I'm not talking about taking all the world's talent and trying to monopolize that. Obviously, each home country needs to keep some of their own local talent, and they will continue to do that. But we should be a little more strategic about how we view immigration just to further our own long-term national goals.
Darrell, thank you for your time here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Gigi Hinton. We'll see you again next week.
At Brookings is produced by the Brookings Institution. To learn more about the issues discussed on At Brookings, visit our website at brookings.edu.